without the other three steps, what happens is as soon as the kids start to play with toys, they're all over the place again. Like, you see beautiful pictures of playrooms on Instagram, but you never see any LOL dolls in there, or you never see any Barbies. All your lovely wooden rainbow puzzles, which are great.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kuhn. Welcome to the Juna Moms Podcast, where I sit down for candid conversations with women who are experts in their field and share their specific knowledge so we can become better equipped to handle all things motherhood. Juna Moms is an extension of Juna, a fitness and nutrition app created to help guide you through your trying to conceive, pregnancy, and motherhood journey. On today's episode, I am chatting with Evelyn Cucciara, also known as the Toy Tamer. If you're like me, trying to keep the playroom clean and organized is a never-ending battle. Evelyn shows us that an organized playroom is within the realm of possibility and talks us through the magic of her sane method, which teaches children skills they can use for life. I hope you enjoy. Evelyn, I'm so glad to have you on the podcast today. So why don't you start by introducing yourself?
I would love to. I am Evelyn Cucciara, known everywhere as the Toy Tamer, and I do custom playroom organizing, basically helping people set up their home so that the structure supports what the kids actually want to do, which is clean up. So it's basically just getting, oh God, can we do that again?
Sure.
I changed it slightly because I usually say I go into people's homes, and after I change that, I went completely off ramp.
Got it. Okay. Restarting. Evelyn, so good to have you on the podcast today. So thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me here, Sarah. I'd love to, go ahead.
Why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about you?
Okay, great. I am Evelyn Cucciara. I am known far and wide as the Toy Tamer. I do custom playroom organizing. Basically, I go into people's homes, put in the right structure and system so the kids actually want to clean up their toys. I feel we're raising kids who can't do anything because we do everything for them. But once we put in the right structure and the right system, they actually can learn the executive functioning skills they need while they're young so they can run their lives as they grow.
Yes. Oh, my God. I love that. I'm literally in the middle of a book called How to Raise an Adult. And I feel like this is very relevant because we don't raise kids that can do things right now.
No. Yeah. We're all waiting for a switch when they turn teenagers that suddenly they know how to do everything. And there is no switch. It will never come. It's like they need to be learning these skills when they're young, but we're not teaching them.
Why don't you back up? Let's talk about what are executive functioning skills, just for those that don't know.
It covers a broad range of different things, but basically it's skills that you need to learn so that you can run your own life, so that you can organize things both physically and mentally. I'm all about the mental concept of organizing, so that you can, it covers any broad range from being able to greet people to be able to like apply for a job. It's anything and everything that basically gives a child the skills to exist in the world as they grow up.
Got it. Awesome. That's a great way of baselining us. And so I think you're serving a need that is very important. When I think of our playroom, like it is complete chaos and we probably need you. And I think like one of the things that we struggle with the most is that like we have so many kids, right? With so many differing needs. But I don't want to solve my problem right now, although I like to do that and we will get there. Let's start with what are things that people who are just having babies, because a lot of our listeners are either pregnant or they're very new moms. Right. What are some tips that you can provide to start your playroom? Because it's not like people start their playroom with shitloads of toys it like starts somewhere. And so what are how can you help us build those blocks so that we start clean?
Exactly.
Fresh?
Okay. So what happens, it's usually not the parents buying the toys to begin with. It's usually the grandparents. And in a grandparent's world, the bigger the toy, the better. And if you happen to have two sets of grandparents or four sets of grandparents with today's world, it all like in competition for who can give the biggest thing. So we see a lot of those giant stuffed giraffes everywhere, which have no purpose whatsoever, other than they look really cute and they take up a lot of space. So when the baby is first born, grandparents want to show their love. So they'll give all sorts of different toys. As a mom, what you can do is try to say, okay, we don't need that much right now. Let's dial it down because we only have so much room. And everybody believes that if a toy can physically fit in the front door, there is room for it. But if you set up a specific space to hold the toys, and the younger the child, the smaller the space they need, obviously. If you set up a specific place and get a specific storage unit that's just going to hold the toys now, it helps everybody in learning that there is a limit to how many toys can actually fit in the space that you've allotted. If you don't allot a space, if you don't allot a space, then it will just keep growing. And so a lot of parents will use a basket to start off with because there's only a couple rattles, couple foam blocks, that sort of stuff. And that is fine. But if the basket does not have any sort of a lid and it happens to be in your living room, it's already going to outgrow that basket because there is nothing that's going to contain them inside of that. So first you're just going to have a few in there and then it's going to grow and then it's going to grow. And then the next thing you know, you can't even like, even if you had something to put on top of it, a decorative thing, it wouldn't even fit. But also nobody can find anything.
Right.
So you're constantly just digging through. So what I always suggest is start off with a small storage unit. And there's a lot of storage units out there that don't work. And I'm happy to tell you the kind that I know that do work. If you start off with one small one, you can always add to it as you get more toys. And eventually you can move all those storage units to another room, to a playroom, a basement, whatever. But when the kids are little, they're going to be with you all the time. So they're still at the luggage stage pretty much at this point.
Yep.
So you need to have the toys where you are going to be. But they need to be contained in something, preferably with a lid.
Okay. And does it need to be clear or no?
Clear, like storage. You're talking bins, right? I'm bookcase.
No, just like a storage. Because when I think I'm already like, oh, did that wrong. But I have, it's funny, the way you described it was our situation. We had one big basket, then we got another big basket, then we got another. And then there was like three baskets. We had no idea what was in any of them.
Right.
And they're like missing pieces. And then cleanup is just dumping things in there.
Exactly.
So don't do that. So tell me right now, what is the best storage container for newborns?
Okay.
Like newborn to 6 months.
So what I would suggest is right from the very beginning, get one of those. I call it a 2x2 storage unit. It's like a square. It's got four cubbies in it.
Okay? Yes. Okay.
IKEA sells. I use IKEA all the time.
Yep.
I suggest IKEA all the time. I have a DIY course. I suggest it right in there. IKEA, Kalex are perfect. So when you have a newborn, get a 2x2, which is four cubbies, and just put it somewhere in your living room. Then you get the bins to go in that. And you were asking about clear? No, never clear bins.
Okay.
Because clear bins just add to the chaos of all the different colors in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens then is instead of seeing the toys, you're just seeing these vague outlines of all different colors and it's just chaotic. What I always like to use are white bins like this. I have one in here, but there's basic plain white bins. Toys provide enough color for everything. You don't need to compete with colored bins. And more importantly, you do not need to get a storage unit that has cute little elephants and giraffes all over it because the kids will outgrow that sooner than you expect. And then you have to just replace it again. So why bother?
We're going to take a quick break so I can tell you about the Juna app, the app that makes this podcast possible. Juna is the premier app for every stage of motherhood, with a 12-week trying-to-conceive plan and workouts, key nutrition information for every week of pregnancy and postpartum, plus six full video courses on birth prep, breastfeeding, newborn care, infant sleep, sleep from 4 to 12 months, and starting solids. The app is designed to be your number one companion from trying to conceive through your baby's first year of life. It also includes daily diaphragmatic breathing exercises, pelvic floor prep, daily tips, and notes from me that are relevant to the exact things you are experiencing. These are so helpful for easing any fears and preventing the dreaded gestational Google mania, that sickness where you can't stop Googling every little thing that happens during pregnancy. Juna is available for both iOS and Android. Just search Juna in the App Store or go to juna.co. Again, that's juna.co. The app is completely free to try for 7 days, and if you decide it's not right for you, you can cancel anytime within the first week. No questions asked. Download Juna today and get started. Now, back to the show. Yes, and now, quick question, because I'm looking at your storage units. Do you recommend the half size?
Yes.
The half
Very size. Important.
Yes.
And I can talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about the same method of organizing. These large square cloth ones that most people use, they look nice. But nobody knows what's anywhere.
As a result,
they're either completely full of every little action figure known to man and your kids can't find what they want. So they just dump it all out, or they're too heavy. They can't even pull it out, or they're completely empty because nobody uses them because it's too hard to put things away. Would it be helpful if I went over what I call my sane method of organizing?
Yes. Yeah, let's go there now.
It covers all this. It covers it all.
Okay. Perfect.
So what my background basically is, I have a degree in art therapy and art education. Brought that all together when I opened up a family daycare, which is when the state allows you to watch kids and certifies
them.
Right, exactly. Because I couldn't find daycare. And at the end of the day, there were toys everywhere. It was me and 8 kids. And I'm like, I can't deal with this. I always think in systems and habits. So if there's something I have to do every day, I'm going to come up with a system or a habit that's going to work. Now, kids, if they feel it is their idea to do something, they will do it. If they feel it is my idea or their mom's idea to do it, they will not do it. Throw in the psychology aspect of how can I make them think this is their idea? So that's exactly what I did. I came up with a system. Fast forward a bit, I owned a kids' art school for many years, and then I opened up the Toy Tamer. So basically, it comes down to what I call the SANE method of organizing, S-A-N-E. S stands for sort. That's what everybody does. You get rid of the toys the kids have outgrown, the toys that are broken, or the things that play music that you can't stand, all that sort of stuff. That's where everybody stops. But without the other 3 steps, what happens is as soon as the kids start to play with toys, they're all over the place again. Like, you see beautiful pictures of playrooms on Instagram, but you never see any LOL dolls in there, or you never see any Barbies. All your lovely wooden rainbow puzzles, which are great. And what's the mom putting that stuff away, which is great if that's what you want to do. My goal, that is not it. It has to function. It has to hold the toys that people actually have. So S, as we said, is when you get rid of the stuff that they've outgrown or you're no longer using, whatever.
How often do you recommend doing that?
Basically, when you don't have any room anymore. When I talk about the rest of the system,
that's okay.
It's I love talking about this stuff because it's just so cool. So A stands for a range, and that means the right shelving units and the right bins. So like we were just talking about, I love the Calyx units from IKEA because, first of all, they're from IKEA, so they're affordable. Same sort of a thing from a different store would cost 3 times its price. IKEA is a European company, so it's greener, so you don't have as much off-gassing and such. And also, they don't have elephants and giraffes all over them. Like I just said, you're never going to have to replace them. Whatever you buy for your infant, they can literally take off to college with them later in life. So you're never going to have to replace it. So those are perfect for storage units. For bins, yes, you always want to have a half-size bin. The reason being is because what we said, if they're full of a big cloth bin, the square cloth bin's full of Magna tiles, it's pretty much a weapon. Your kids can't pull it out by themselves either. So they're going to be calling, Mom, help me. We don't want that. We want these kids to be able to handle the playroom on their own, to find what they want and put it away. So you want to use a bin that's half the size. Also, because when you're putting toys away, those big square fabric bins, it's a 3-step process and you need 2 hands. So picture you've got a handful of Paw Patrol. You go into the playroom or wherever this cubby happens to be to put it away. And you need to have one hand to pull the bin out, the other hand to throw the Paw Patrol in, and the other one to push it back. So that's 3 steps and you need 2 hands. First of all, nobody ever has 2 hands and nobody wants to spend the time to do the 3 steps. A general rule of organizing, it has to be easier to put the toys away or anything away than it is to take it out. Because when you're taking something out, you're motivated. You're going to open cabinet doors. You're going to open drawers. You're going to open closet doors. But when anybody's done with something, there is no motivation at all. So you have to trick your brain into that it's easier to put it away. So that's what this whole system does. So if you have a half-size bin, and again, you have that same handful of Paw Patrol, you walk into that space and you literally just toss it in and keep going. You don't even have to break stride. And the half-size bins make it easier for kids to see what's in them, which is why I like the white bins too, because they can rummage through to find what they want. The deep bins, they have to dump and they don't find it. And they dump on the next one and they don't find it. And they dump the next one. And the next thing you know, you've got toys all over the place. And they found the one thing that they're looking for. So half-size bins are very important. The N in the same concept stands for name. And in a kid's world, it's a picture label. It's a picture of their actual toy. Not a generic picture of the train you took off the internet because it looks cute because it has little polka dots on it, because they're not going to know what that is. And you also want to have the word at the bottom for early reading skills. And then this is where most people go wrong. You never label the bin. You always label the shelf. Because when kids are sorting, or when kids are putting toys away, they can easily separate a Magna tile from a Barbie from a Paw Patrol. That is not the issue. The issue is, where do they put that bin? And if there's nothing to tell them, they will put it anywhere because, it'll be just the easiest place to put it, wherever that might happen to be. And if mom is the only one who knows where the bins go, the mom is the only one who can put them away. We don't want that. We want mom to be the one who's not putting anything away. So instead, you want to make that photo label and you want to hang it from the top of the shelf. That's why the half bin is also really important. So you have room to hang the label. So again, then when it's time to clean up, let's say there's an empty shelf with a picture of that toy hanging on top of it. Your brain will say, oh, let me put that bin right on that empty shelf because it's easy peasy. And I know I just matched it up. So I get that immediate gratification of, yes, I did it. And that works with any child, like from age 2 and up, because they can see the picture, they see where it goes. And most kids really do want to be helpful. If you happen to have a 5 or 6 year old girl, they would love to be able to do the system, but there's just not the system there to support them to do it. And then the last part, the E, is empower. So you want a system that empowers the kids. So every child wants to run every part of their own lives, and we let them run nothing. So we have all those little power struggles of what shoes do you want to wear? What coat do you want to wear the minute you're trying to get out the door? Mm-hmm. But if we empower them so that they're in charge of the playroom and set it up the right way so that they can easily run it, what happens is this. When it's time to clean up, you would say to them, okay, however many kids you have, all right, 5 minutes, we're going to do a cleanup because we have to eat lunch, whatever, go to school. They always need a 5-minute warning. It's helpful. After that happens, then it's you'd say, okay, we're going to ring the bell. I'm going to think of a number between 1 and 10. Whoever guesses a number gets to ring the bell. So that way you're not the bad guy. And it's a little concierge bell. So it's a nice little sound. Makes the mom feel she's in a lovely hotel as opposed to in her playroom. Every kid wants to ring the bell, but whoever guesses the number gets to ring the bell first. Now, if you have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, the 5-year-old's going to always want to ring the bell. Just let the 5-year-old ring the bell because the 2-year-old's not going to care. So whoever rings the bell, then it's a giant matching game. How fast can we put everything back in the bin where it came from? And all the bins are exactly the same. That's an important part too. You want all your bins to match so that it gives you a calm sense of serenity in the room, not a chaotic sense of everything all over the place. So they sort everything out really quick and then they look, where does it go? Oh, it goes right there. Let me slide it right in. Then when they're done, either the same, if it's an older child rings the bell when they're done, or the other child. So you have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that signifies that the whole process is over. But more importantly, and this is the empower part, when there's anybody else in that space, whether it's grandparents, friends, other moms, babysitters, whomever, your children get to boss those people around and tell them how the system works. So it's empowering them, giving them ownership over the playroom and keeping it neat and clean at the same time. And that's how the whole sane system works. But the beauty of it too, you asked about like, how do you know when you have to switch out toys? You know when you have to switch out toys when a new toy comes in and there's physically no room. So you don't have to be the bad guy. You don't have to be like, if you're at a store too and your children want new toys, they come up with a whole new category. You can be like, what's going to leave? Because they know that there's only X amount of spaces because everything is organized with a label on it. And the same thing, like they get a new concept. They go from Duplo to Lego, let's say. Then you would say to your children, okay, which toys are you not playing with anymore that we can put the Lego in? So you're not the bad guy making the decision. And it's teaching them that there are limits to how much stuff they can have, which is pretty much what nobody knows anymore, that there are limits to how much stuff you can have. Like I said before, if it physically fits in the door, it can be on that app. But when you have whatever amount of cubbies you have for your space, then that is your limitations. And kids get that and they understand it. And that is how the whole system works. But as you can probably see, if you don't have all four parts of it, it doesn't work. And the beauty that I love about this system too is that removes that whole mom guilt thing. There's no such thing as a dad guilt thing. But a mom, whenever it's a messy playroom, she feels it's her fault. And I want to definitely say in no way, shape, or form is it your fault because you simply don't have the right structure to support what you're trying to do. It's a lot like if you're trying to organize your kitchen without any kitchen cabinets. You're literally just moving things from point A to B and back to point A, and nothing's getting done. Same thing in your playroom. But once you set it up the right way, you can actually play with your children in the playroom versus going in and having to feel like you have to clean it up.
Okay, I love it. I need to implement it immediately, but I have a question. When if you're like me, where I would say I'm not like I've taken a look at your Instagram. I've seen some of the befores. That is not like our stuff is all put away. It's organized. I have all the Calyx like filled with that, but we have made the mistake that we have the full length. Nothing's labeled. And it is a problem. But so let's say like, we're going to make this change right now. We're bringing in the toy tamer. How do we talk to our kids about, because like my 6-year-old and my 4-year-old for that matter, they're used to not picking up their toys. Like they're like, I feel like there's got to be a whole family conversation around this is how we're going to do things now.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Because kids actually crave organization because it's what they have in school, whether it's preschool or kindergarten or whatever. And at home, they don't have it. So at school, they're used to doing this sort of stuff. And they actually love it because kids do like to be organized because then they can find what they're looking for without having to ask. But without the structure, you don't have it. So people always are asking me, what's the learning curve? I'm like, 5 seconds, because they get it. They get it immediately. They don't get the big square cubbies with no names on it because to them it's just a blur of all sorts of nothing. But once the pictures are hanging there and they can clearly see, oh, that's where my Barbies are, they get it right away. It's so amazing. When we do a playroom in person and the kids come in afterwards, the moms are like, what are they doing? I'm like, putting the toys away, because now they can. And they get that immediate gratification when they match it up.
Yeah. It's funny. I have my two oldest kids. They went to Montessori school and Montessori is like very big on you take one toy out, you picked one toy. And I'm like, oh, it's perfect. That's what they're going to do. No. And then like they come home and I'm just like, why is all your stuff out? Right. What is happening? What in the world?
It's a two-parter, because the Montessori concept of that, the strict one with the one toy in, one toy out, works great in a school setting, but it doesn't allow for creativity. Like in that aspect, Paw Patrol's never living in a Magnet Child castle. Can't happen. The two will never meet. But at home, the kids will want to like flex that creativity muscle. So they're pulling everything out. And plus, you're not the teacher going, no, we can't go have snack until we put those away, because you're a mom and you're busy. And you're like, we're eating snack now because we have to leave in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But exactly. But once, like I said, once it's set up that they can do it, they just take to it. It's like astounding. Every once in a while, we'll get some kids who don't really take to it because, like you said, they've been doing it the other way for so long. So then usually what I'll do is I'll add in an extra timer or something that you know your child responds to.
Yep.
And then it will work fine. And then once you get one on board, they usually all kind of jump on board.
Yeah, that will, I will definitely say. And then I think like the competitive aspect of like who can clean up the most, that will definitely fare well in our home. Mm-hmm. One of my questions is, because I think this is really hard for me, and I'm sure it's hard for people who listen, is teaching your kids how to take care of their stuff. And it's particularly coming to mind when I think of markers in our home, and it's very triggering to me because I'm just like, just put the fucking cap back on the marker, excuse my language, but that is literally how I feel. And I always will make, I'm like, look, if your markers are drying out, these are your markers. I'm not getting new ones, but I always
that
get new ones.
Work.
So it's a, do you have
a bad mom? Oh my God, my children have no markers.
And or my littlest will just like break crayons. And I'm like, oh my God, you can't have crayons anymore. Then you can have, you can definitely have crayons.
Life. Exactly.
Do you have any tips on how we can teach kids to take care of their things? Because I think this extends like way into life too.
Yes, yes. Usually with art supplies, it's because they have too many.
Okay.
So
yes, that is.
Yeah. So for example, your oldest, is that a girl or a boy?
It's a boy.
Okay, it's a boy.
It's boy, girl, boy.
Boy, girl, boy. Okay. So we're talking your four-year-old mostly with the markers, the concept, even though your son probably draws a lot too.
So yes, my four-year-old now is very big on putting the markers back on the tops because she's very into coloring now.
Right.
But my littlest will come over and just take all the it was a problem for her. Now it's not anymore. Now it's my two-year-old.
Okay. So here's my question then. Where are they doing this coloring? Is it on a little teeny table that the two-year-old can reach with no problem? Or is it on an adult-sized table that the four-year-old could sit at with drawing without having the two-year-old get in her way?
Let's be honest. One of the hardest and most unexpected things about postpartum was feeding myself nutritious foods. Between trying to figure out my baby's sleep and feeding schedule, trying to keep the house in working order, trying to keep myself bathed and functioning, there was very little extra time to go grocery shopping or to do meal planning and go cook for myself and the family. Enter Home Chef. They have simple and delicious meals for every day of the week. You can choose between the oven-ready meals, which I highly recommend, especially in the early postpartum period, to ready in 15 minutes. The meals are healthy, easy to make, and make the cleanup process easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Use the coupon code JUNA115 to get $35 off your first box, $30 off the second box, $25 off the third and fourth boxes. Trust me, this will make your life 1 million times easier when you don't have to think about feeding yourself and your family. Once again, go to homechef.com, pick your meals, and use the coupon code JUNA115 to get $115 off your first four boxes. Enjoy. It is all over the place. Like we've tried to confine our creative stuff like to an area, but that is a small table. But what ends up happening is we're always at our kitchen table.
Right.
And our two-year-old can access anything in the world. Like he will climb, he is determined. And so he will go up, grab markers, bring them down, take the markers off, color all over the table, and then disappear. And I won't even have known it happened.
So that's basically happening on your kitchen table. Okay, so here's the thing. When I do a playroom, I always put an art table in the playroom. Okay. Because that's, you want to keep it off of your kitchen. So when it's time to eat dinner, you don't have to like get it rid of anything. Mm-hmm. But I always put an adult size table in the playroom. So that way adults mm-hmm. can sit with the kids or grandparents can sit with the kids. And the 2-year-old will not be as tempted because there will be toys around that he can play with. When it's in the kitchen and he's in the kitchen with everybody, he wants to be a part of it. So there's no toy. So he's climbing up to get what everybody else is using. But if you're in a playroom where your older kids are sitting at a table and it's regular table height, so he's not really even noticing it that much, he's going to go and do the toys, I would be willing to bet, because his interest would go that way.
Yes. Okay. Now, you mentioned having too many art supplies.
Like, yes.
What is like your perfect world of an art like an art situation?
Right. So what I usually do is I have a little cubby that is transportable, has a little handle on it. So mm-hmm. again, you can put that up out of the 2-year-old's reach, but where the 4 and the 6-year-old could reach it. So if you're not there, so just whatever fits in there. So let's say that one of those cubbies, the one I usually use has like 3 little cubbies and 1 bigger cubby on it, but it's only about, I don't know, 7 inches by 5 inches. It's not big. Mm-hmm. So you just fill that up, one markers all in one, crayons and one whatever. You know, the kids are going to mix it up, but they're not really going to care. Whatever doesn't fit in that cubby, you can put in a separate bin and store up high. Like those are supplies that you would restock that with.
Okay.
So don't have them all out at one time because it's too overwhelming.
Got it.
And then you don't.
Mm-hmm. Coloring books, all of that stuff.
Yeah. Usually it depends. I will put a bunch of them into a bin, or IKEA sells these wall things for shoes. They're called trones, which I love for coloring books and stuff because they hold them all vertically.
Oh.
So it tilts out from the wall. So it's a two plastic containers.
Okay.
I don't have one here. I could show you. 2 plastic containers, but it's definitely called trones. They're sold 2 to a set. I use them, like I said, for coloring books, activity books, stickers, color paper, white paper, whatever. But they hold 2 9x12-inch coloring things next to each other. So you can hold it the whole bunch, and then they just tilt out from the wall.
Okay.
So the kids can find the one they want.
Perfect. Okay. Now going back to taking care of your things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if there's too many, they're not going to take care of them either. A 2-year-old, it's a little tricky. There's no way. Exactly. By 3, they can finally get the concept. But also, like I said, you just don't want to overwhelm them. Once they understand, okay, these are my markers, let me just use these, they'll be a little more, how do I say this? If you had 50 billion something or other, you wouldn't care about the 2 or 3 you happen to break.
Right.
So you're going to break them if you felt like it, if you were 2.5, 3 years old. But if you only have a certain number there, it's a whole different thing. It's like manageable.
Got it. Okay. So basically limit everything so that it doesn't feel
Depend on things that are breakable like that. I mean, like your Paw Patrol characters, doesn't matter how many you have. If your child loves Paw Patrols, put them all in one bin and you're good to go. Or mm-hmm. you can have one whole bin full of characters, which is Paw Patrol and Peppa Pig and anything basically that's upright and can talk as a character versus a bin that's just animals. So every family has different interests. So when I sort toys, or when you sort toys, it kind of comes to pass. You can see as you're sorting it, because like sometimes I'll have bins of small dinosaurs, medium dinosaurs, large dinosaurs. Sometimes I won't even have a single dinosaur, depending mm-hmm. upon the kid. So as you sort your toys, it'll make sense as to what goes on. And you'll basically, when I sort toys, I lay out all my bins and then I just start going through all the toys and I sort them. And then I will have one bin full of trucks. Like maybe I'll start off with just trucks. And then I'm like, oh, no, now we need small trucks. But I'll have like 3 bins that are bursting because you don't want the bins to be so overwhelming that they can't even pull them out without things falling out. Then I subsort. Like lately, we're doing a lot of monster truck cubbies because mm-hmm. there's a lot of monster trucks out there. Sometimes LOLs and Barbies can live together. Sometimes OMGs and Barbies need to be completely separate because there's so many of them. So it all depends, but it makes sense once you sort through everything.
Okay. And then what was my other question? As you were talking, I had a... Oh my God, I'm like totally... Oh my God.
Just thinking about toys, overwhelming toys.
I am thinking about overwhelming toys. I'm sure I'll think of it as you're talking.
So when you're setting up a playroom, you also want to do it in different zones. Think about how schools do it. Okay. So usually there's an art zone. There's a game zone. Games and puzzles, there's a truck zone, there's a doll zone, and then there's a dress-up zone. Now, a lot of people will put dress-up clothes just shoved in a big trunk because they're out of sight. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that you can't find anything, and more importantly, your children can't find anything. So instead, what you want to do is put easy hooks up. Like, you never want to use hangers because that is another job the mother has to do. There's nobody's putting that Cinderella dress back on that hanger. So you want just like wall hooks so the kids can easily hang the costumes up and see them, because out of sight is out of mind for a child, which is why closets don't work and cabinets, closed cabinets don't work. They look good for the parents because you forget there's no toys showing, but they don't really work well for children. So you want hooks that the kids can easily put the costumes on, and then accessories, hats and whatever, just go into a half-size bin again in one of the cubbies with a label on it so they can find everything. But most importantly, you also want to put up a kid-safe mirror, because really, what is the point of getting dressed up if you can't see what you look like?
Presenting it to mom.
Exactly, exactly. And then you're like, wait, oh, great, okay. And then, you know, you have to do the back.
And then the costumes dress are all the way upstairs, and I'm like, please take those down.
Yeah, exactly, right. So costumes should always be in the playroom, too. The only things that I really suggest keeping in bedrooms is, like, books and, like, quiet toys, because otherwise they're just going to drag them down to where you are anyway.
That is honestly our biggest problem, is because our playroom is downstairs, but our kids are still young enough where like they want to be around us. Mm-hmm. And so if like I'm cooking dinner, all of a sudden my kid is upstairs, four different toys have been dragged upstairs, and then right. they all go into this like pile on like obviously on the in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I actually was like got this these baskets from IKEA that I put at the bottom of each stairway right. so that like, and I just like dump, I'm like, oh, this is where all the laundry that like goes upstairs, that needs to go upstairs exactly. at the end of the day. And that's been our toy system too, that goes downstairs. It's just, but it's just, I want that to be their job. And I think right. that I'm having a hard time in getting that to happen.
What I would suggest, since you have a 2-year-old who's not going to go downstairs by himself.
Oh, and he will.
You don't want him downstairs by himself. Yeah. And you have the older two who are going to migrate towards you too at dinner time, because it's like a giant magnet. Mm-hmm. I'd suggest getting one of those small Kallax, the 2x2, and putting it somewhere upstairs, mm-hmm. giving each kid a basket up there with literally with their name and their picture as the hanging tag. And so when they drag toys up from downstairs, you could just toss them into whatever basket, it, you know, whoseever toy it is or whoever brought it up. Mm-hmm. And then they can take that basket down either once a night, once a week, once a whatever. Yeah. So then it'll be contained for you. And then if they happen to just be upstairs with you, there's some toys they can play with too, but they're already contained.
Yes. I have a Kallax up here, but I just haven't, I like the fact that we label it for each kid and then they
right. put my husband picture like, on it.
I don't want them to know that it's okay to have toys up here, but I'm like, they're going to have toys
exactly.
up here. We need to
yeah.
see stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You need to accept reality for
exactly.
a while. Exactly.
Yeah.
But if you put their pictures on it, they're going to love it because yeah. then they're like, oh, I'm going to put it in my thing. And then when it's time to clean up, you can say to them, go get your basket and let's bring them downstairs. And put the toys away.
I remembered the question that I had for you. It's so I'm looking at your label, but no one else is right now. because like you, the traditional label maker that I'm thinking of is obviously like just the
just words.
You know, yeah. So tell me how you make those and what I need to make those.
Sure. Exactly. Okay. So what I do is I use an app that I call Quick, but it can be, that's the app called is Quick. However, I don't know if it's still available. But any photo app will work fine. And you just want one that you can label with the words on the bottom. So you take a picture of it. You put the words on the bottom of it. I have a little printer that I bring to people's homes. I print it out. Then I laminate it with just like a photo size thing. They come that size. So you don't have to, cut them up or anything. Slide it right in, put it right through the laminator, punch two holes. And then these are little the thing that attaches it to the shelf are tie wrap clips. So my husband and I invented this. I have all of this information on my website, and there's also a whole DIY class I sell on my website that leads you right through the whole thing. So you can find all that info there. But I'm happy to share because we all kind of have the same goal. We want children to live in an organized area that they can take care of by themselves and run their lives as they grow up.
So my last question is, why don't you tell me how, because you obviously go physically into homes and you help organize and you come in and how do you work with people who are not near you?
Exactly. So I'm based in the New York area, but we do travel. It's me and my husband who does this. So we can travel. We went to Rhode Island once to do a playroom. I'm like, really? Okay, we'll go to Rhode Island. Other than that, I also have a complete DIY class that's available online. So you just purchase that and download it. And I'm a former teacher. So it's all laid out in really clear depths with videos and everything. And then also in that, if you have trouble designing how everything is supposed to go in your space, there's an upgrade you can do where we do it virtually. You send me pictures and measurements and I do it all out for you and everything. In fact, if you go to my website, which is thetoytamer.com, and then for the DIY class, it's just /DIY. The first thing I have there on that page is a picture of a playroom a mom did all by herself.
Okay.
That we just did virtually where I helped her design it. And then she just followed all the steps through because I feel it's really important to see that it is duplicatable. It's not, it feels like there's a magic wand I'm waving because when we do it, it just takes one day. But for everybody else, it is just a series of steps. And then once you set it up, you're done. You never have to do it again, because when the kids get new toys, like we talked about before, you're just afraid the labels.
Yeah.
So it's super easy. You don't have to buy more storage. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to buy more bins. You just have to change the labels out. And once you've done the labels once, you already have the supplies and it's super easy.
Got it. And do you recommend doing the same? Because my son has like rock collections like crazy in mm-hmm. his room. Like he has books and rocks on display. Mm-hmm. And now that's like those rocks, they just obviously he can keep finding rocks forever and he will. Should we have designated areas in his room to contain these collections like of his?
Does he like to display them or he just likes to have them?
He likes to display them.
Because the Kalex, you can display some stuff in there, and then your 2-year-old isn't going to be able to reach them if you get mm-hmm. tall enough ones. You can, mm-hmm. there's plenty of space on top to display them. You can also just put shelves up. Like when it's a similar thing with Lego. It's like with Lego, our kids Lego builders and keepers or builders take aparters, because you need two different kinds of storage. So the playroom we did last week, he was a builder take aparter. So, you know, there's a storage unit that's sold everywhere that's like little slanted bins. It could be wood. It could be plastic. That does not work for toys at all, because it holds 5 toys and it basically the slanted bins are telling your children to just dump them out.
Right.
So the only thing that thing works for is if you have enough space and you're setting up like a play fruit stand, because that'll work perfect for that. Or if you have a child who likes to keep all the Lego pieces. So last week's playroom, they had one of those storage units, which normally I just donate, but he was a Lego peacekeeper, not a Lego displayer. So we mm-hmm. put that in we made a separate Lego area for him because he had some younger sisters, so that he could build on a full adult sized table, but still see what's going on in the rest of the playroom so he doesn't feel left out. But behind him, we filled those all up with Legos. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of that, too, is if he's got more than one kid, like a friend over or something, you can give each kid like a bin and say, okay, you got 5 minutes or 10 minutes to build with whatever's in there.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yes. But you could do that with rocks, too, is what I'm saying. If he had a ton of rocks.
Yes.
You could use it for that, too. That would be a lot of rocks. But yeah, you could just put
a lot of rocks.
Exactly. You could have him. He's 6. He's a 6-year-old. Yeah. You could have him decide, how do you want to divide these up? Like by color, by where you found them, by what do you want to do? And then you could make signs with pictures for that. It's great to involve older children with it because their brains are different than ours. He might find a very interesting way to sort it that you would have never thought of.
Yes, that is. He has been doing that with his coins. So mm-hmm. it's been funny how he's been. I'm like, that is not how I would have done it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But as long as you're happy, we're all good.
Exactly. I really appreciate it. This is super, super helpful. So thank you so much for coming on.
I'm so glad. Yeah.
Why don't you tell people one more time where they can find you?
Sure. So I am the Toy Tamer on every social media everywhere except LinkedIn, because I am there, but I don't do much on LinkedIn because I find moms do not think in the mom brain when they're on LinkedIn. It's impossible. No. The switch does not happen. Does not happen. So on Instagram, the Toy Tamer, Facebook, the Toy Tamer, my website, thetoytamer.com. There's tons of information on there. There's info about the DIY class on there. And people can always reach out to me via email or anything. I'm evelyn@thetoytamer.com. Yeah, I'm happy to help. I love talking about this sort of stuff because I love seeing messy playrooms, because I can already see how great they can be with just a couple little things. And then the beauty of this whole system is once you set it up, you're done. You never have to do it again, ever. Perfect. Yeah, which is what
I like
we want.
The sound of that. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Right. It's like when I talk to moms on their phone, they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's going to last forever. And that's my biggest thing. It's not like people don't know such a person as me exists, because there's really hardly anybody else who does this. So when they're Googling playroom organizer, they're looking for a storage unit.
Yes, but that's true. Yep. That's true.
But I'm
here. Thank you so much. And this was great.
Just thank you so much for having me on. I love talking about this stuff.
Okay, that's all for today. If you liked today's episode, please share it with a mama friend and leave us a review. If you're pregnant, postpartum, or trying to conceive, you can download the Juna app completely free for 7 days. The app is available for iOS and Android and is designed to be your guide for all things health and fitness for this very special time of your life. If you have any suggestions for episodes you would like to hear or anyone you think would be a great guest on the show, please email me directly at sarah@juna.co. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.